just heard you offer the apology for all the monsters of our times.
Is that correct?
Welcome to the Midnight Movie Maniacs podcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly movie review that takes place during the midnight showing of new movie releases. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Midnight Movie Maniacs. This week, we are at a special fan-pick favorite screening of Star Trek. Into Darkness, there you go. I'm a little winded because I just walked up all these stairs, don't mind me. This is AJ, I'm here with Martin.
Hi, guys.
So, Martin, why Star Trek?
Why not? I mean, talk about the ultimate nerd experience. Trekkies are one of the original sets of nerds out there, and it's one of those long-running fan favorites. They have a huge fan base, and J.J. Abrams back in 2009 rebooted the franchise with a new Star Trek, kind of a prequel, and brought even more new fans, to the world of Star Trek. So this is one of the highest anticipated movies of the year. There was Iron Man 3, Star Trek 2, and Man of Steel. Those are the three most talked about movies for the summer. So I'm excited to be here. This is one of my top two anticipated movies of the year.
I'm just a huge fan of Star Trek in general. Like you said, one of the originals, one of the things that brought a lot of people into geekdom, sci-fi and whatnot. So I'm just very excited to see it. So technically, I mean, it's being billed as Star Trek 2, and honestly, it's not.
No.
In the long line of Star Trek movies. And yeah, so
I was reading about it, the idea from J.J. Abrams about bringing this forward and the idea of rebooting the franchise without restarting the franchise. So the idea was that they're still in line with the original movies. So we're going into technically a sequel of the movie. This is not Star Trek 2. This is just 2 in the new trilogy. So that's really cool. And I think the idea of how he rebooted it. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the Star Trek from 2009, but there's an alternate timeline created. Captain Kirk and Spock are now in this alternate universe, basically starting their friendship anew with a different past than the original William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy team. So that's really cool. And what J.J. Abrams had to say about this movie, Star Trek Into Darkness, was with the alternate timeline, it's really cool to still see them have to go through the start of the Enterprise missions. They still have the same crew members because those people, even in alternate timelines, still have to cross paths. It was kind of a thing from Back to the Future as well when they had that alternate Biff timeline, and they still interacted with the same cast of people because no matter what in your life, you're going to have to cross with these people. And so he thinks that's really cool. And he thinks things like the Klingons and the Romulans, their story can be, they can still be a part of that universe and still have the same conflicts with humans, but maybe it'll be a different outcome than we saw in movies and TV shows in the past of Star Trek.
Now, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm still tired.
Well, we should mention that we're also celebrating a milestone in AJ's life. Happy birthday, sir.
I turned 30 today.
Happy birthday.
That's a big, big feat. So congratulations and, take it easy tonight.
I'm old, being 30 years old.
I do know.
After being in around for 40 years and still managing to be 30. It's just a lot of hard work, so
it takes a lot of effort to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of you. I hope when I get to be your age, I can do the same thing.
Well, comments like that, I don't think you will be making it to my age.
I probably won't be for several reasons, but yeah. But I don't know about you. I'm very excited about this movie, and I actually went and read spoilers, and I know what happens in the movie. And idiots who went out and posted it on Wikipedia, the whole plot that had already seen it, went and posted it online. I handle spoilers, I think, a lot differently than other people do. But even knowing all that information, I watched the 2009 movie last night just so I could gear up for it, and it was just as exciting to come and sit down and get in line for this tonight. And I'm excited that there was a line tonight to get in the theater.
You see, when the 2009 version came out, I was very excited because I thought it put a breath of fresh air into the series. It brought it to life without rehashing and recasting all these older actors to try and be a spy or what have you, as they are in the original films that they were in. So to go this route, I was very excited for. I did want to see an Enterprise movie at some point, but I'm okay with that, I guess.
Well, you heard the news today. There's a fan campaign to try and get that as a Netflix series now.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever look as good as Jolene Blaylock did in the classic Star Trek uniform.
Very good.
However, I'm very excited in this. I did my best to stay away from the spoilers. I do know things already, but of course I kind of called it when I first heard about this movie coming out. And from what I've seen, the trailers are keeping with one very strong tradition that shows that no matter what timeline they're in, the Enterprise is going to fall in damn near every movie that they make. So, you know, I'm excited for that.
I was reading today that Paramount told the writers they couldn't destroy the Enterprise in the first movie.
They did, though.
But they did. And then in this one, it already looks like it's going to be blown to smithereens.
The one scene I wanted to see that's been so impactful, they showed in the trailer, and that's just the Enterprise free-falling through the atmosphere. I mean, no trajectory, nothing, just flat. And that's something I've always wanted to see, and I'm very excited to see it. So,
I think there are pieces like that in the trailers. They do a really good job with these movies. The very first thing I saw about the 2009 movie was at Comic-Con the year before, and they showed that teaser trailer of the welders working on the Enterprise.
Right.
And it, you know, goosebumps. I think that's the same thing with the idea of watching the Enterprise fall through the clouds in that scene that we've seen in the trailer, and it was, you know, I was like, whoa, what's going to lead to that? And so it's exciting, and I didn't even get this excited about Iron Man 3. I was eager to see Iron Man 3, but I have been anticipating to see this movie more this year, and I'm hoping that it's going to be everything that they've said they're going to be.
Well, I think there's a major difference between Iron Man 3 and Star Trek, other than, of course, the content. And that we see Iron Man even in Iron Man movies. Avengers, we see him in Hulk and all that stuff showing up. So it really isn't the same. We don't see Captain Kirk showing up in random crossovers or anything like that.
Right.
Even though the X-Men have been on Star Trek, on the Enterprise, but still. So seeing this come out, I mean, it's just a big ball of excitement. Plus, on the heels of the announcement that J.J. Abrams will be taking over the Star Wars franchise as well, I mean, we're just getting and all geeked out for everything. So, very excited for the movie.
Now, before we start the movie, my question for you, my question I've been thinking about this week is, what is it your most, besides the ship falling piece, but like, is there anything in this movie that's standing out to you, that's making you think this one's going to be great? Or maybe the alternative, is there something in here that makes you think, oh man, that might not be so good?
See, for me, I never saw Kirk as an action hero. He did not fill that build for me. Like, I never saw him as that. He was just egocentric, in my opinion. In this film, already in the previews, we see the vengeance coming up in Kirk. We see that he actually does not know what he's doing. He apologizes for it, but he's an action hero. We see that already. He's not just sitting,
jumping out of the ship.
He's not sitting on the bridge going, okay, you know, let's do this, and then I'm going to beam down and bang whatever chick that is on the world that we're here for, get in a stupid fist fight with the lizard, and then go back up. He's not that kind of action hero. So seeing this Kirk fill that role has me excited. I think that's what I'm down for. So, what about you?
The thing that worries me about this is that it's been classified as a dark Star Trek story. And I always thought of Star Trek as a thinker kind of show when I was watching it on TV.
And outmaneuvering.
Right. Not really dark or bright, you know, like super lucky, happy. They always talked about issues, and, you know, there were issues of the era that they would reflect on in their show. And that was a Gene Roddenberry thing. But this one, their question is dark, and that revenge thing you were just mentioning. I think it could go either way. I think that could play really well and it'll be a new path for Star Trek, or it's not going to work and people might get disappointed. But I'm going to hold judgment on it just because of the things I know, and I'm hoping that it's really going to work out. The thing I'm excited to see in this is I want to see where this cast goes. So they've all mentioned how hard it was to really get into character in the first movie. They've done it. It's over. It was successful. They're making a sequel. So now where are they going to take their character? What's the progression of their character? That's what I'm really excited about.
So the one thing that's bothering me with this series that's come out, and I think it's its one downfall so far, excuse me, is where's the space travel? Why aren't they on other planets? So far, they were on one different planet in the first one. We've seen through that special sneak peek that they are on one different planet in this one. But where are the other planets? They stay hovering around Earth and dealing with the defense of Earth,
right,
instead of the exploration of space. So that's the one thing that's really bothering.
Yeah, where's the frontier, right, that they're supposed to be exploring?
Right. That's their ambassadors trying to go out on this mission to try and make contact, first contact with all these other people. And, you know, we already see him breaking the Prime Directive and then now defending Earth again. So that's where my concern is. The other one is we're seeing this on IMAX 3D. We've so far not really had a great experience or run with the 3D movie so far this year, so I'm wondering how that's going to play off as well.
And this is the first movie to ever be shot in IMAX and then converted post 3D, instead of shooting it in IMAX and 3D at the same time.
Right.
So this will be interesting to see a conversion of an IMAX into 3D, which conversions have always had a bad deal.
Right, yeah. So, having said that, with all the information you've now been given, we're going to go ahead and take our break, enjoy the film, and then we'll talk to you guys during the credits at the end of the movie.
Here we are at the end of Star Trek. Martin, what'd you think?
Yeah, damn, that was a good movie. I don't know if it was just me, but it feels like they really were like, hey, good job on that last one. Here's billions more dollars. Make it better. Like, it looks way cooler this time around.
I think, hands down, number one movie of the summer.
Yeah, no way, totally. I mean, everybody who's been naysaying about this film, I think they need to wait until they actually watch it. Because, I mean, even with the possibility of the negative ideas behind the trailers, it totally disproves it.
No, this movie is non-stop, balls-to-the-wall action. There is so much happening in this movie that, I don't know. It was very hard to read, you know?
Yeah, but it kept you going. You know, you're following along with the story. There's a lot going on. But at the same time, you're really drawn into it. There weren't parts where you, sit back and breathe and, man, what is that? You're constantly following along with it. I don't think it loses you, though, with that constant action, which is really cool.
And I think we finally found a movie that was worth IMAX and 3D.
Yeah, the only thing about the 3D is there are those action sequences where they're moving really fast, so people who may have that issue with the 3D, there's maybe all of 4 minutes of it, the whole movie, but the rest of it, which is gorgeous IMAX and 3D.
Yeah, my advice, if you go see this movie in 3D, sit in the back row.
Yeah, sit further up, sit far back.
We had mentioned during the film, Martin and I had leaned over and were saying something about 9/11 and the similarities, and it gives credit to, pays homage to the 9/11 victims in the ending credits. So, yeah, very, very classy of them. But I think this has to be one of my hands-down favorite movies so far this year. In fact, I think it's probably my favorite that we've done on the Midnight Movie Maniac shows.
Yeah, I mean, this series, 42 was my last that was on the top of my list so far this year. And Warm Bodies after that. Star Trek just blew them both away.
Wow, Hemsworth is getting credit on this, so is Winona Ryder. There must have been some cut scenes.
Yeah. I hear there's going to be a lot, on the director's cut that we'll learn a little bit more about, probably flashbacks or something like that, but wow. I mean, I'm still just blown away by this.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely fantastic. Storyline was awesome. I called it on who it was. The homage to the movie that it took from in Wrath of Khan. I'm just going to give it out, guys. Spoiler alert. It's Khan. Okay, and the homages that they paid to it, the stuff that happens with it, I thought were fantastic. I thought it was awesome. A lot of people saw it and started laughing during a lot of the scenes when it was a very emotional scene, but that's only because we remembered where it was coming from, and I laughed because I thought it was awesome. What'd you think?
I was talking about earlier in the show that J.J. Abrams said that even though it's an alternate storyline, there's still villains that these heroes will eventually cross paths with, whether it's an alternate timeline or not. Maybe it's going to be a different approach to how they cross paths, and that's exactly what he did. And I think he approached it very well. He brought back this guy. I mean, I know he had to lie to fans for a year and say, it's not Khan. But I think it was, in the long run, it was the right move. And he did it very well with the homage to the Wrath of Khan, which was also very awesome. And just the twist that they did so that it wasn't the exact same movie, and to show that this is an alternate timeline. So this is obviously an alternate version of what happened between Khan and the members of the Enterprise, and he did a great job with those twists so that it wasn't the exact same story. We weren't like, oh, we've seen this before. It was great.
Now, I don't know how big of a fan you were of the original Wrath of Khan, but I still remember it verbatim. So during the scene in question, I automatically had the dialogue playing in my head and was kind of disappointed not to hear it, but I understand why. So, in that aspect, it was kind
of
cool.
But did you see similarities to the themes of kind of those scenes? So they didn't use the same dialogue, but it was kind of the same, it was still the same storyline, just reapproached in a different manner.
No, I saw it. They didn't use the same dialogue because they did it from a different character's point of view. The original Khan, you know, different things were happening to different characters, and that was their reactions to them. In this version, this is how their reactions would be, roles were reversed. So, you know, instead of one character being sad, he was the one fighting, you know?
Yeah, it was really well done. I watched Wrath of Khan a few weeks ago, and it was cool to sit here and say, oh man, that's such an interesting take on it. Because you know how fans really are when they watch that. Well, what if the roles were reversed? Here's your freaking answer right here.
Right.
So, and it wasn't as dark as I, like, had rumored had been, so I liked that. It was still, there was still light, humorous moments, but at the same time, there was action, there was emotion. There were a lot of layers to this film that are just really good.
And I think all around, acting, visuals, the sound effects. I love the warp effect.
Yeah.
That new warp effect they have.
From the very beginning, from the intro.
Right. The new intro even.
It brought you right in. It was perfect.
The way my chair shook every time they went to warp, all that, I thought it was awesome. So very good job on it.
But the lens flare. There were three scenes in particular where that lens flare was blocking view. That was really annoying. That and the fast moving during the 3D, during some of those action scenes where it was kind of hard to not blur it, those are the only two things I see wrong with this whole movie. So, and those are very minor things.
You know, I was able to stay focused during the 3D. It didn't bother me at all, the action and everything. I didn't notice with this 3D, though, when I bent down to get a drink, everything was blurry out the side of my eye. I didn't like that. But
you have a very, very clear center point of focus when you're watching this. You can't tilt your head to the side. You can't look down. It's got to be. You got to. And but I mean, the way he made this film, you don't want to look away.
Right.
So that, you know, he kind of did. And it was post-production 3D conversion. So amazing job. Usually that's a terrible way to get 3D, but the effects came out really well.
Maybe they just needed the right movie.
Yeah. exactly. I mean, not every movie needs 3D, but this was just amazing. And I, to jump off the movie real quick, we watched Man of Steel in 3D, the trailer just before the movie started. That was better in IMAX 3D than the 2D trailer.
Right, right. No, absolutely. So, yeah, no.
Thumbs up.
And more.
I mean,
if I had more thumbs, I'd give it more thumbs.
It was awesome. This is definitely a must-see, and I think it's worth the IMAX and the 3D, and I don't ever say that lightly.
And, yay, Alice Eve.
Yes.
Way worth the IMAX.
It'll be fun to see where her character goes if they continue the trilogy. When they continue the trilogy.
And is there an end credit scene? No. No end credit scene. Everyone's still here pissed off and bitter. Look at that. Well, all right. Well, for Martin, this is AJ. Thank you for tuning in to the Midnight Movie Maniacs review of Star Trek. Into Darkness?
Into Darkness.
Into Darkness. We will catch you guys next week.